This is Scripture Read Badly,
a podcast where two grown-up pastors' kids discuss the stories of the Bible in chronological order,
attempting to avoid heresy and generally having a good time.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Ryan.
Sit back and rejoice.
Today's verse comes from Numbers chapter 6, verse 4. All the days of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. This, ladies and gentlemen, is evidence that weird sickos eat grape seeds. Actually, I've done that from time to time if I can't be bothered spitting them out. But this is biblical evidence that if you're really following God, you don't eat the seeds from grapes. My name is Ryan. Welcome to Scripture Read Badly.
And I'm Jeremy, and on this beautiful summer day, we are going to speak of Numbers 6 and possibly 7, but I'm not sure. And 6 is, once again, God separating people for a season to become more holy and close to him through growing beards. Even the ladies. Actually, not the ladies, so, because they probably don't have beards in the first point. But it says to not touch the head with a razor. So I suppose if the ladies don't have a beard before they start this, it's not just going to magically appear. Although that would be pretty funny. Like, look at that beard on that lady. She's a Nazarite.
Yeah, wow. Look at her, because here I come. That was a Greatest Showman reference.
What?
I was just singing a song that the bearded lady from The Greatest Showman sang, but moving on, what were you saying?
Still haven't seen that movie, probably never will. It's probably my new Frozen. so the Nazarite is called to not drink any vinegar or strong drink and or any juice of the grapes.
Mm. Oh, but grapes, what do you think,
are delicious.
What are some other examples of strong drinks other than vinegar and wine?
Of that day and age?
Nah, just of any day and age.
Oh, milk? Fermented milk?
Okay, yeah.
Like kefiris? Right. Or,
that sounds brandy? Like a disease.
Kefiris? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I've got a bit of it. I've got a touch of the kefiris. It's gross. Oh, it's gone all green.
He's come down with the kefiris.
Oh, get your kefiris away from me.
I'm thinking maybe straight Cotty's Cordial.
Oh, that is disgusting.
That's
Nazarite vow should not be drinking that.
That's right. You stay very far away from that. What about espresso?
That would definitely be a strong drink, but yeah, I suppose. I think he's going for a keep your brain in check kind of way. So would you argue that caffeine heightens your brain activity or distracts it, like wine?
Well, caffeine is a stimulant. Alcohol is a depressant. So there's that. Obviously, this here is referring to depressant drinks. But I would argue that strongly caffeinated drinks alter your brain just as much as... No, just as much as some depressants. So with a strong coffee, maybe that would have been ruled out for the Nazarites because it heightened brain activity too much.
Oh.
Maybe.
All right, or maybe it's even talking about our livers.
Oh, okay. Maybe livers are the most important organ to God. And we know
it's a giant filter, right?
That's right, yeah, and God does enjoy organs, that's why they're in all the old churches.
Exactly.
So I suppose livers could be the most important of organs.
Yeah, I would. Huh. That's why we should put them in all the churches too, right? Just a big old liver.
Well, I've always thought it was funny when a church wanted to get rid of one, and then people could label them organ donors. I thought that was always funny.
On their driver's license.
That's great. Okay, so if you are considering espresso or other caffeinated beverages like coffee or tea as strong drinks, then would I would suggest that modern day hipsters who have big bushy beards, who are typically into coffee culture, would not be considered Nazarites. Despite what you said in the last episode about them being the modern day Nazarites. What do you think?
What about if they only drink the purest of single origins and they keep themselves to one AeroPress a day?
Are you trying to get yourself in that camp? Is that what you're...
Oh, no, I haven't had an AeroPress for days.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think I'm currently drinking single origin anything.
I have absolutely never had an AeroPress.
What? You've got to get on the bandwagon. It tastes so good in my mouth.
No way.
Although of late, I've just been strictly drinking long blacks to try and find the perfect one. Currently, the perfect one was in Melbourne, and no one's defeated it yet. But we'll see.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first, folks, unless you're on a coffee blog that said it too. The perfect long black is in Melbourne.
It's at the Victoria something something markets. Street? Victoria Street?
I know the
markets,
one.
Maybe?
I have no idea.
And it's like this little...
Melbourne's in Victoria, so possibly.
It's this little cafe near the markets. And when I was there, just before I ordered, I smashed a vase of water on the ground. And as the barista lady was mopping up the water, because I had no idea where the mop was, she was like, "Oh, how are you? And did you come here to get coffee?" And I felt so embarrassed. Like, thanks, lady. Anyway, back to the Nazarite vow. I think the modern-day hipster is not...
No, I want to stay there for a few more seconds, and that is to comment on the fact that possibly the reason you think that long black was so good was that it was a relief from that very uncomfortable situation that you were in.
Oh, no. If I'd been given a gross coffee at that place, I still would have walked away being like, ew, gross.
You would have smashed
coffee.
That on the ground, too.
Yeah. I was just like, are you serious? Nate Stevo said you were the best. Smash! And then do the vows again, because she filled it up a second time.
These flowers are fake!
I hate this place.
Oh, man.
Just jump directly through the glass. Cutting myself.
Yeah.
This is what you did!
Glass? Who gives a beep about glass? That's a Die Hard reference.
I love Die Hard.
Me too. I've never been into coffee, though. Never. Well, I tried. I got into the
sweet drinks are you into?
You know Claudia's
red cordial. Straight. Over ice.
My mum picks the fruit that makes the coddies. Is that how it goes? I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, my mum picks the fruit that goes to coddies and make the cordial.
Yes.
That I love that best. No, it's my dad. It's not my mum.
Oh, that's right. Because they were sexist. That's right.
That was super sexist.
Yeah. Okay, well, it wasn't called Cotchies, was it? It was Cotties. All right, that was a stretch. I'm not really big into drinks, honestly. I like a good milkshake. Like a good smoothie. Caramel? I love caramel. Caramel's my favorite type of milkshake, although I do like lime. And for non-Australian listeners out there, lime milkshakes sound like the grossest things, I'm sure. But they don't taste like citrus, because that would be curdling milk and gross. But no, they're actually pretty good. If you can ever get your hands on a lime-flavored milkshake, I fully recommend it. In fact, Scripture Red badly recommends it.
Yeah, Scripture Red badly does. Did you live in Canberra when Canberra Milk used to do green milk once a year?
Ooh, no.
For the Canberra Raiders?
That makes sense.
It was delicious.
I don't know. I don't think we ever got Canberra milk. It was a little too expensive when we lived there. Always get the Woolies brand. You know, it's been so long since I've had a non-Woolies brand cup of milk that I don't even remember what it tastes like. Probably Woolies brand cup of milk. Yeah. All right. So I like soft drink. That's pretty good too. But the Nazarites, I'm sure, would have to get by with water. Maybe. Do you think they could have milk? Honestly?
Maybe they could have apple juice if they made it themselves.
Mm. Right, but they probably have to dilute it with water. Oh, like the fruit drink, like home brand fruit drink that you get at Woolies. So
they just
gross.
Have cartons of them around.
Yes, it's like orange flavored concentrate. It's not even orange juice that you add water to. It's just concentrate.
Yeah.
But then that's the Cotties cordial anyway, except it's pretend juice. In my family, we always used to call it makeup juice because you had to make it up yourself. In hindsight, that sounds pretty gross.
The Nazarites would love it. Tastes so good.
Yeah, as long as it's diluted with water. Otherwise, it is off the table and smashed on the floor in that Melbourne coffee shop.
Ooh, that would be good. That would be a piece of art.
Yeah, so they couldn't have grapes either. Could not eat grapes. Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting. Oh, well.
Now, something that I want to ask you is what types of people would actually make these vows? I keep saying vows, like a letter. And we decided before we started recording that the Nazarite vowel is E. It's the letter E. But no, the Nazarite vow. What type of people would actually make these special vows and how long would they last?
I can't figure out if it's only for Levites, but... But I feel like it's one of those fast kind of things to bring you closer to God.
Right.
And there was a limit. I just can't find it in the text right now.
Samson was from the tribe of Dan, though, and he was a Nazarite. Or took a Nazarite vow his whole life.
So he must have been...
Until he messed it all up.
It could have been everyone. But definitely on the eighth day, he brings turtle doves to the priest. So I wonder if it's just 8 days.
No, it's the second day of Christmas, not the eighth day. Oh!
The eighth day of Christmas, bring doves.
Two turtle doves.
Hang on, how big
is it actually
your...
two turtle doves? That's awesome.
How big would your beard be after 8 days? That doesn't seem like it's very hard.
All right.
Maybe just you do it for a period. So with... Samson, it was his whole life, so he
it's
just
like
had
an
to stick to
beard.
It. Yeah, but I wonder if some people are like, I'm going to do this for 3 months.
Okay, I have a question about facial hair growth, because I myself am not necessarily genetically equipped for such a feat. I'm trying, and as the years go by, I'm getting a little bit fuller of a head of... a face of hair, but...
Is this something your wife is, like, cheering you on? Or she's like, ugh, gross.
She loves when I have a clean-shaven face, but she likes how it looks if I have a bit of stubble. So I'm thinking she might like how it looks if I have a beard, but she may not enjoy how it feels.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. But I think for the sake of my own manhood, I'm cheering myself on. To grow a beard. So I'm shaving every few days now, which is a lot better than shaving every week like I had to do last year. So I'm slowly getting to the point where I'm almost to the point of daily shaving. But after 8 days, it'll just look really gross and patchy and seedy.
The secret is, if you really want to get lush, is to grow it to its extent until it does get gross and then shave it. Because if you just shave every day, it doesn't get thicker, apparently. So Luke Summerall had nothing, and then he did this regime where he'd grow it until it got gross and then shave it. Grow it till it got gross and shave it. And he's got, like, a solid beard now.
But the argument could be made that that was just time and genetics.
Yeah. But his dad doesn't really have a beard, and his brother has nothing.
Okay. All right.
So you could argue both ways, but...
Okay.
You do you, champ, Bumblebee Tuna.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I want to know how big a person's beard would be if they didn't ever shave. Because in the case of the Nazarites, Samson, I'm sure, would have had a beard. And I think the gene pool for a lot of people in the Middle East is that they are readily able to grow a beard.
Yep.
I think it's more the European Jewish in me that is less equipped to do so. But I've kind of always assumed that if you never, ever shaved and you got to the age of 80, you'd look like Dumbledore. but I don't think beards are that big.
Yeah.
Don't they? Do they kind of hit a point where they stop growing long and they just become bushy?
Or they get scraggly. So my brother never got a good bushy beard. He just got a scraggly beard. And the sides of my beard gets quite scraggly. So I suppose it's different hair types too.
Okay, because so like, it varies from person to person.
Yeah. When That's I grew my hair long, it wasn't like thick. It was just wispy.
Right.
So you should just grow one. A big old beard.
All right. Well, I'll tell Fiona when she gets home from work that
it's time for the beard to come out.
I was given the all clear,
and she can grow her beard too.
She can grow her beard. You know, she's going on. She recently had her 22nd birthday, and so she's going on 22 years of never shaving. So that's
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very good. Actually,
that's a good beard.
Okay. One last question about facial hair, because this is super important to the Nazarite vow. I'm sure that if I never shaved from... I think I was 16 before my dad let me shave because I had a very, very faint shadow on my upper lip. And maybe I was 15. And I convinced my dad to get me a razor because I wanted to feel manly. My friends were already shaving. One of my friends, when he turned 10 years old... his older brothers made him shave. So he's been shaving since he was 10 years old.
And so by the time he has a huge ass beard?
Well, I have no idea. He could probably grow a beard if he wanted to, but he's married now and I'm not sure how she feels about it. But I've seen pictures of him with a full face of stubble.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking if I started when I was 10, maybe by now I would have a decent face. Full of beard.
Yeah, but highly possible.
But then again, if I'd never shaved when I was younger, I would have a very, very, very gross, patchy outworking of facial hair.
Yeah, you would.
So I wonder if there were Nazarites like that because they never shaved. It just kind of became a gross, long mustache that got in their teeth and a gross goatee that was kind of going all the way down to their waist, and then their cheeks were just gross long patches of whiskers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you did a lifelong Nazarite vow, that is. So I don't know what Samson was like. I don't know if he was black like the recent movie depiction of him or the Bible TV miniseries, but maybe he just had a really gross, seedy face.
Super seedy. And maybe that's how people told you apart from the rest. Like, oh, that guy's got a seedy beard. He must be doing the Nazarite vow. Let's try and give him some grapes. Hey, buddy, you want some grapes? Like, get away from me.
I made a vow, man. Come on.
I made a vow about the grapes.
Oh, man. All right, so that means they also had long hair. But something that I do like about the recent cinematic depiction of Samson is that he had dreadlocks. And it would make sense that if you were going to have very long hair and be a strong man that fought a lot of people and killed however many Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, that you would put your hair in dreadlocks so that they could grow very, very slowly.
Yeah.
Cause it's one way to maintain hair without needing to cut it all the time.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, even someone like Todd White, who's a well-known charismatic evangelist, especially in circles that interact with YWAM and Bethel and different movements like that, Todd White has dreadlocks, and he's had dreadlocks for years. And I think he said something like he hasn't cut his hair in 20 years. Whoa. And they're just dreads. And it's cool. I mean, it goes down his back, but at the same time, it's not, I wouldn't think, as long as you would expect for somebody not cutting their hair for 20 years. I would expect something like Rapunzel. But instead, you got a full head of dreadlocks, so I don't
know. And people could climb them. That's how dreadlocked they were.
Wow, yeah. All right, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay, so it even says that these Nazarites should let the locks of hair grow long. So there we go. Todd White's doing it. Maybe he's been on a Nazarite vow this whole time.
And that's why he's so influential.
Oh, no, but he has a clean-shaven face.
Oh,
there
gross.
We go.
That doesn't count.
Okay. Well, maybe he's found a loophole, and when it says a razor shall not touch his head, he thinks, well, that doesn't count as my face. Maybe he shaves a different way. Maybe he waxes his face.
Well, someone else does it for him, and there's a loophole.
No, but the razor is touching his face, and so that's kind of that's how the thing gets broken later on when someone else cuts his hair. So, all right. So all the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body, which would be unfortunate if his job was as a mortician.
He'd probably have to quit.
He'd probably, or at least take some kind of leave.
Yeah, hire a new guy. Like a subcontractor.
Now, it's interesting, though, the wording here in verse 7 of chapter 6 says, not even for his father or for his mother, for his brother or sister, if they die, shall he make himself unclean, because his separation to God is on his head. Now, I just have hair on the brain. I'm a hair brain right now. But that just struck me as a little bit funny, given the fact that we've just talked about no razor touching his head, then all of a sudden the separation to God is on his head. Maybe symbolically, but it's more like a bounty, I suppose. You don't literally have a bounty on your head, because that would be weird and probably weigh you down.
A big chocolate bar on your head.
Yeah, that's right. Coconut chocolate bar. Yep. So if somebody dies right next to you, what happens there?
You'll have to start your vow again.
Oh,
you probably swear at the guy like, come on, man, I was 2 days away from finishing.
How dare you die? Come
on. Give him a big old kick.
You have to shave your head and start from scratch.
Yep.
Man. And then you bring two turtle doves and a partridge and a pear tree. Or, I mean, two pigeons to the priest.
And a Kinder Surprise for his kid.
Yay. I love Kinder Surprise. Oh, side note. You know how Yowies have made a resurgence in Australia?
No, I haven't lived there for 4 years, has it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can now buy Yowies again at servos and stuff. And even at Coles, I think.
So isn't Yowies, it still a choking hazard?
Oh, definitely. Kinder Surprise is a choking hazard too. But Yowies, for those that are unaware, a Yowie is a mythical Australian creature. I think we talked about it back in Job when we were talking about the Leviathan and the dragons in different cultures. So the Yowie was supposedly this kind of demon thing that would come and kidnap children or sheep and take them away in the Australian indigenous cultures. So then there's this cartoony depiction of what a Yowie could look like, which is kind of like a dog crossed with a kangaroo crossed with a cartoon hippo or something. And it's essentially like a Kinder Surprise. It's chocolate, you eat it, inside is a plastic capsule, open that up, and you can put together a toy of an Australian animal. Or choke on it, if you really want, if you're feeling adventurous. When I was around 4 years old, I got a Yowie, and inside was a toy of a black field cricket. And I lived in Newcastle at the time, did not know that black field crickets were native to the region. Until one day I was out in the sandpit and I was playing with my blackfield cricket toy. And I had a very, very creepy experience where I buried it for a second, as you do in a sandpit. And then out of the sand around where I was crawled real blackfield crickets.
Whoa.
And I was so freaked out that I sprinted inside and wouldn't play in the sandpit for days afterwards. That's my story.
That is very strange. You
very
didn't just kill him?
No, maybe I was hallucinating.
Oh,
maybe
true.
From choking on the Yowie toy, but I don't think so. So, yeah. So I'm sure that the Nazarite would bring a Yowie or a kind of surprise to the kids of the priest. Because back then it doesn't seem like the priests were supposed to be celibate. I don't think it was ever laid out in the law that that is what they were supposed to do.
Aaron had kids. No, they probably had heaps of kids.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. I mean...
So you'd have to bring multiple yaois.
Oh, so many yaois. Man.
Come on, priest.
And even in the in this weird resurgence that we find ourselves in the Australian economy, when you find yaois, it's basically in a box of 10 at a service station or at Coles. And if you buy them out, then they're probably out of them. So you probably only get a maximum of 10 yaois at a time.
So hopefully he has less than 10 children.
I know. And even if he has less, you should probably get 10 anyway, because then you can just munch on the rest. Don't swallow him whole. That's one way to die.
One way to die.
So obviously he has to sacrifice things because he's like, man, I messed up this vow by somebody dying next to me. How inconsiderate.
How inconsiderate.
Yeah. And then when the time of separation is completed, he goes to the tent of meeting and he brings a gift to the Lord, which is an unblemished lamb, year old. Very specific. I'm sure they had class of whatever it was, 3000 BC. It's probably only like 1000 BC at this point.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't it?
I would think so.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you that.
Yeah, yeah, all right. And then there's a whole bunch of things that he has to bring, like tortillas and other ingredients for tacos and...
Yeah, definitely.
That type of stuff. Or at the very least, some kind of doner or kebab or gyro.
Yeah, definitely from a shoulder of the lamb.
Yep.
Or ram. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Those things are so good. If you find a good kebab shop, you go back there all the time. It's just the way life works.
Yeah, I haven't found it yet.
Oh, man. I pity you. Maybe you should look... What do they call them in Europe? Because I feel like in America, they call them doners or euros.
Yeah.
But I think it's spelt with a G, but it's pronounced like euro... But you're in Europe.
Yeah, gyros. So,
yeah. Yeah, just order me a couple of them gyros, will you?
Can I get some gyros, please? Extra cheese?
Oh, I'll tell you what. Byron kebabs, or Bay kebabs, I mean, in Byron Bay in Australia, are the best. It's the best kebab shop in the world, I think, honestly. Whoa. I mean, it's a big call. It's a big call.
What makes them so much better than everyone else?
Well, the chips, I think. There's some of the best hot chips that I've ever had. Kingsley's has nothing on this. They think they have awesome chips. No, no, no. Bay Kebabs in Byron Bay have the best hot chips to go with some fantastic kebabs. Maybe they're not the most authentic. I think everyone that works there is an Aussie. And most of them are Caucasian, so I think they're catering to a specific demographic, not claiming to be authentic, but their hot chips, oh, man, they are so good. And there's just something about potatoes that just hits me right in the old cholesterol and the heart.
Delicious. Mm. Sounds like I want to eat all of that.
Yeah. So that's basically what they're offering to the Lord is a lamb kebab.
With some chips.
Yeah, and there's
and
also a
bottle
drink
of
offering.
Wine.
Exactly. Yep. With some chips and a drink. That's the grain offering. Chips made out of grain? Nope, that's not how it happens. Anyway.
Grain chips. Grain waves, yeah. Grain chips.
Grain waves, yay!
And then you have to actually wave the taco or the kebab.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, what were you about to say?
I was just agreeing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So they have to bring the kebab and the wine and wave it before the Lord so the Lord can see what sort to cool it down. And so the Lord can tip his hat and be like, nice, Byron Bay, best.
Yes.
And then they can sit down and eat it together.
Yeah, but then the Nazirite also has to shave his head then. Which, man, I think that's very, very interesting. Because we have it that anytime they start the vow again, they have to shave their head, start from scratch, obviously. That makes sense. But it never specifies how long a Nazirite vow goes for. Which I think is quite curious because... let me see. So Samson, according to this footnote, Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist were all lifelong Nazirites, which means Samuel had massively long dreads.
Yep.
And a huge beard. That's pretty cool. I like that. I like that a lot. And we know that Samson was, and this is a good reminder that John the Baptist was also a Nazirite.
Yeah.
Which means he never had cotties straight from the bottle.
No. He had to avoid parties.
Yes, that's right. Little kids' parties. Avoid them at all costs. But you're fine to go to church and have morning tea there because they always water down the cordial till it's gross.
Yeah, till it's just like coloured water.
Yeah. So
that's because they wanted John the Baptist to come. Oh, there you go. It's like a spiritual act, hoping that John the Baptist would turn up.
Ah. Okay, so in that case... old people at church just catering towards people that may be doing Nazirite vows. They're not...
there you go.
They don't have dead taste buds.
No, they're not catering for taste. I think that's our findings.
Right, okay, yeah. That's the... that's what they're doing there. Okay, so then that means they wave their kebab, cool it down. God's like, oh, lamb, I like it. And then they shave their head. And so what I was getting at here was, if the only three recorded Nazirite vows that we have in the Bible are taken by Samuel, Samson, and John the Baptist, then does that mean it was always a lifelong thing? It can't be, because they said when it's completed, you can do X, Y, and Z. So do you think there was, I believe in the birth of Samson, we'll get to in Judges, it's instructed to his parents that he will be a lifelong Nazirite. And I believe John the Baptist had something similar said about him, instructed by God. Samuel, I'm not sure. So this seems to imply that there is a way to complete your vow. Maybe this is just for the layman, but then these other dudes with the dreads were the lifers, maybe.
Yeah, the non-layman.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's not determined by... hang on. I'm thinking and talking at the same time. Maybe God determines how long it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people are called for like a year, or some people are called for 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's when it completes.
So I'm seeing here towards the end of this whole section of chapter 6 of Numbers that... the priests actually get to eat the kebabs.
Yeah.
Good on them. That's the best. All
right. That's how they get all their food, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Bake kebabs every day. Come on.
Bake kebabs from the populace. Except that one time that someone brings, like, a salted pastrami sandwich from their mum, and the priests are like, man. Who invited that guy?
Yes, like going over to a certain friend's house and you know that their parents are vegans or something. It's going to be disgusting. And you're like, oh, great. Well, I like hanging out with him, but I don't like her cooking.
Yeah, do you want to stay for dinner? No, I have to go home.
Actually, no, I have a bye. Just get out of there. Any excuse that you can. Yep, that's fair enough. So no pastrami sandwiches.
I meant a different kind of pork, but beef. What's that, like, you boil it in salt for ages?
Corned beef?
That's so gross. Corned beef! It's only sometimes that I like corned beef, and most of the time it's not.
I like corned beef with cheese sauce. That's how my family does it.
Oh, yeah?
Usually with corned beef with a white sauce, a cheesy white sauce, and steamed vegetables.
I like the steamed vegetables.
Yeah, yeah. That's something that my mum likes to cook, because all you have to do is just put it in whatever and leave it there until it's done. You don't have to do anything else except make the sauce. And people can add
maybe
their own
I should
salt
do that for Bible study next week. I did a salad this week and that seemed to go over well.
Nice, nice.
Got to figure out more recipes that I don't have to put effort into.
So on the back of this Nazirite vow, we have the ironic blessing. That's a classic PK joke. Actually, it's a classic pastor's joke. I got it from my dad. Come on.
Yeah, dads are pretty good.
So then it's interesting because God, this is something that I never realized. I always thought that it was something that Aaron said to the people or something like that. But no, this is God telling Moses to speak this blessing over Aaron and his sons. Oh, wait. Nope. I was wrong. I read scripture badly, believe it or not.
We do it constantly. That's why we called it the show.
Man,
I mean, we called the show it. Wow. Saying English badly also.
Oh, great. Okay, so God tells Moses to tell Aaron to speak over the people of Israel the following blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them.
Boom.
What is your take on the Aaronic blessing?
I like it.
Cool.
It's so nice. I love blessings. At the end of our church services, we have a benediction or a dismissal. And maybe I should do this one. But it's so nice that someone gets to just stand up and say nice things over a crowd of people. I think we don't do it enough. I kind of wish, you know, how everyone prays before meals and it feels weird when you don't do it because we do it all our lives?
Yeah.
I've stopped doing that and now it feels weird to me to pray over a meal because it's just so generic for me. But I just wish we could just bless each other. Like, bless this food and bless everyone here. Amen.
Yeah, that
sounds
great.
Maybe I should just start doing that.
Do it.
But I love blessings. They're so nice. Even to people that don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I like the Aaronic blessing. I agree. I think people that don't know the Lord are often quite open to being blessed.
Yeah. They love being blessed.
If you offer prayer to someone and they say, I'm not religious, and you say, can I just pray a blessing? Can I pray God's blessing on you? Who's going to say no? I mean,
heaps of people.
Yeah, heaps of people would if they have a negative idea of
people
God
hate
or
that crap.
Anything like that. But you'll find that actually a lot of people are open to it and they say, yeah, if you want. So then you just pray a blessing over them. And that's essentially what God is doing here. And we did talk in the past, in our first episode of Scripture Discussed, about how potentially a lot of the people of Israel were not God-fearing. And we do see that in the following chapters, that there are lots of rebellious things that they do.
Yep.
So the fact that Aaron is instructed to bless the people, even if they don't necessarily follow God's commandments already, means that this is a pretty good template to follow, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I like this. Jeremy, do you have any closing thoughts on the Nazirite vow?
I'd be interested in meeting people who have tried it.
Ooh.
Or talking through other vows that people have taken. Because we have Lent and we have different ideas of fasting.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Nazirite vow is very specific. So curious what people have tried in the modern day that are either similar or completely different because of context.
Yeah, if you out there have tried a vow, whether it was a vow of silence, we don't necessarily want to hear about a failed vow of celibacy unless your name is Nacho Libre.
yeah, please, everyone, call in Nacho Libre.
If you have taken a vow, and we're not necessarily talking about giving up social media for a week or something trivial, but something that is a significant change in your life and you felt like it brought you closer to God, or if it didn't bring you closer to God, we would love to hear from you. Just let us know on social media, or on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and in our email as well, scriptureofbadly@gmail.com. That's also a good place to find us. Yeah, that'd be amazing. And if your story is intriguing enough, then you may even find yourself being contacted by me to possibly appear on the show and give your story. That'd be pretty awesome.
I would love that. You should do that.
I would also love that. Okay, well, I'll give you a little bit of advice before we do the sign-off, and that is, if you are going to drink cordial, please don't drink it half and half. Everybody knows that. Oh, wait, Cotties changed their formula a few years ago to make it double the concentrate, so the bottles were half as big.
But what?
Yeah, so there used to be the ratio that you'd fill up the, let me see, it'd be about 1/4 cordial, 3/4 water, and that'd be the perfect ratio.
Yeah.
But then when Cotties changed the formula, you had to do an 1/8 cordial, but then if you accidentally did 1/4, then it was just way too strong. So be very careful when you are making up cordial, especially Cotties, to get the ratio perfect. Otherwise, you will have a very unpleasant experience and drink colored water or basically syrup.
Ooh, yep. Syrup.
And also stay clear of Cotties if you are taking Nazarite vow. My name is Ryan.
And my name is Jeremy, and I approve this message.
That's the show.